Yes, meeting is me. I'm like,
I
oh,
feel
I'm
like
with you.
that's a new thing. Okay, so I have to hit continue. Okay, I'm consenting.
So this particular conversation is really about the unearthing and connecting. And it's interesting to say unearthing because I don't know that it's so much that as it is unearthing. To
Right,
really, right,
totally.
like deeply connect to our own ancestry and the journey around that. So for folks who don't know, and at some point this will go into Patreon first, and then at some point I'll let it out into the YouTube world because I think it's going to be bomb ass anyway.
I'm going
So
to take a picture of us really quickly so that I could put it on my social media and tell
yes.
people to sign up for your Patreon world. Okay. Just had to do that because I'll forget. Oh, that's such a beautiful smile.
It's like all the things. Wait, let me do this. Let me cover that.
Let me get it.
So Mary Beth and I met. I'm no longer gonna try to timeline that, except to say that I don't think that we can go much further out in the world and not still be connected, no matter what. And that to me is what sisterhood is about. It's what, being brujas is about and all of that good stuff. And so, first of all, you're like, and I think I told you this once, like you're reading your writing, your reading is often to me like anytime I read your writing, I'm like, what the fuck? That's what I do first. Like, what the fuck? And then I'm like, so fucking good. My God, write more, right? One of those things. And so if you can just like introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you're up to now in your world, because I think that it's you're like a mega mistress of magic when it comes to word alchemy and the beauty of that thing on this earth, and in all the realms.
Okay, I could just say that I don't want to track time, but I was definitely breastfeeding a baby when we met. Like, that's how long ago it
Yeah,
was.
oh
And
my
now all my kids are teens. So, my littlest was definitely hanging off my breast. So it's been a while. It's been a while
Yeah.
sis. So my name's Mary Beth, as you know, and I mean, but there's so many different ways to kind of speak on what I love and what has found me. And I am a writer. That feels like the best way. I feel like I've been that way since I was a little kid, and always sort of in the dream world and on the spectrum side of things as far as like my brain works. So I was always kind of tapping into stuff that people were always saying, like, where are you? Get back into this world kind of thing. So writing was kind of a place for me to process and put things that were coming through me down as soon as I could. And in that writing, in my writing, I really do feel like a lot of the work, whatever that means, the play, the way I create vessels and work with other people and be in the world, just sort of revealing to me itself to me is a living thing in the writing. And because I was really starting in, especially the last few years, writing about being taken kind of by like this longing of like, who the fuck am I? Where did I come from? What just happened in my life? Like, what just happened? I just watched a lot of things happen as a child between elders and dying and Americanization process and assimilation really happened in front of my own eyes. Like, I was able to see a lot of that happen. And so me kind of grappling with that, and wanting to like learn more about where I came from without really having any context before here on this land, like on this land that other people belong to, which I came aware of pretty early, kind of led me into feeling like, okay, maybe I can help share this process as being like a white racialized so-called European descendant, because that's what I am. But I knew I grew up, I knew I had things and experienced things that gave me indicators that there was something different, culturally speaking. right? Culturally speaking. And so I grew up, I'll just say, I grew up in what's called upstate New York in an immigrant community. And three grandparents were immigrants from Sicily in Italy. And one was from Poland. No access to the Polish really at all. And it was very, just if anybody is like a Sicilian American, it takes over everybody. It takes over every fucking thing. Like, so there's really no space for anything else. It's like, this is what you are. This is kind of what you are. It's just a big, it's a big soma. It's a big cultural like body. So that's kind of like how I was brought up, to older parents, very big family, not a lot of like financial resources, but we got together, you know. There was a lot of trauma in that. There was a lot of magic in that. Like those truths all live together as well. So that's kind of like, I started like really writing and like wanting to know more, and then, and took some trips to Sicily to like find things out, and then found out that like the land and the soil had like so much information, was like pulling me in and pulling me in. And so I kind of just felt like, okay, this is like kind of tracking my process a little bit, like tracking some of these things a little bit, and just was like, I think this is like really important to have a practice of remembering other identities besides whiteness, in which my immigrant ancestors, I don't know if consciously or unconsciously, made a contract with, an agreement with. And that agreement, as we were talking, is part of a blood, like some sorcery blood stuff that I don't know if anybody really knew what was happening. I mean, there was consciousness about it for sure, but there was also, I think, maybe not a real understanding of what they were signing away, what they were signing away from. Which is the lineages of their land and their people when they came here. And it's very intertwined with the experience of being here and like the contract that I uphold in it. The agreements that I'm still sitting with, because those are still very clear, but also like, how can we remember what else there was? How can we like remember that it's all still living, and that also lives in our body as well?
And I think that that, like, one of the things, and I'm really intentional and try to be hella mindful when I am co-facilitating anti-racism spaces, and white folks are entering into caucus to have conversations that, you know, they need to have with a white co-facilitator. One of the things I try to remind people, it's a really thin line to navigate, to know how to hold the conversation around like the cost of whiteness being racialized in America in this way. And also like this group, because what I'll do is I'll say, you know, whiteness is, it's a culture, a non-culture, as well as a culture, right? Because it's just all this shit thrown together. Nobody knows what the fuck anything is. But one thing that you see really like hard body that folks are engaged in is defending or being patriotic to something that if you don't sign everything away, you actually don't get to access all the benefits that it offers. It's really like a fucked up corporate thing. Yeah, it's like, oh no, you can come through, but you'll need to drive our car, use our phone, use our computer, wear our stuff, like wear our stuff, do this, do that, and the other. And so for me, I'm like, wait a minute, okay, wait, we need to talk about what it means for us to have this, whether you're a person, for me as a Puerto Rican, a light-skinned Puerto Rican, right, where I'm looking at certain pieces of the cost of being the diaspora, right? And then on top of that, while I'm trying to explain to others why we're fighting, of course you can't understand why we're fighting. You had to give up a thing so long ago, you don't even remember what it cost you.
We don't remember what it cost.
Yeah. And
that's,
so
that's the piece. Yeah.
Right. And then so there's this longing that can be very, very messy. Because what it starts, it'll start, American culture is very extractive, right? It goes outside, it starts taking from other places and other things. And so for me, it's like, I'm not talking about purity. Purity is not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is like actual anchored and rootedness and whatever threads we can follow in our particular time and generation, because it's different. And that's the cost of being a diaspora, right? Yeah. A couple of generations in, there's a lot of cultural and ethnic amnesia that by the time maybe the fifth generation comes in, you know, they just identify as American. They say, no, motherfucker, you ain't American. Take your happy ass. Go start looking at your shit. Yeah,
it's not right? What you are.
It's what not what you are. Yeah. And yeah. So looking at, you know, my particular like nuance is like looking at all these patterns of what causes people to hold on to something else that may not be oriented to their ethnic identity because they actually don't know what that is or how to start or where to go, like, or what to do, right? And so for me, I think one of the things about watching your journey that was really exciting is the way, and this is the part where, you know, folks don't ever know the backstory of a thing. We can only share so much on social media and share so much in that way, right? But there's like all life still happening besides social media. And I was really like excited for watching you weave that connection deeper and deeper and deeper. And so I'm curious about being able to name what some of those things look like for you and kind of, you want to not talk by the window, bro? You know, it's one of those things where it's like, in the personal journey, there's always medicine and kind of the little trickles of what can possibly be a beginning for someone. So,
yeah.
Right.
Like, one of the things that I always try to like get people to do is really also examine, and this is coming from my lens of like what my DNA is or whatever, like where my just two generations ago were born and raised and grew up, and then call it that bioregion. Yeah. So from that lens is where I can only speak from, but like I encourage people to like really the first thing is always going to be body and land. Okay. I'll talk about that, but like also to unravel some history, because most people don't even fucking know history. They don't even know their history. And it's very frustrating, especially in like, you know, a lot of like Italian American communities here, they're so clueless. They have no fucking idea. Right. They've been so indoctrinated by something that is like, it breaks my heart. They don't even understand so many, like this nationalistic kind of thing is like, it doesn't make even sense. Yeah. If you go a little bit into history, it's like, it wasn't until 1870 or, you know, kind of recent in the sense that like Sicily, where my family is from, was an independent place. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It wasn't even part of Italy. Mm-hmm. Italy didn't come and take it over until then, right? So there's like that, but then like looking at like 2000 years before that was the initial colonization by the Greeks. So like taking apart history and kind of and like learning like, okay, where's this bioregion that I'm pretty sure if you have access to knowing like where in these old countries your folks are from, and just start piecing apart history, and not like textbook, but like kind of digging in. We do have a lot of access to a lot of information out there. Like there's a lot. And then it's like, okay, so you kind of have this understanding of like the flow of how empire has come in and integrated into your ancestral bodies, first of all, so you can have some understanding about some things and have grace and compassion, and also the grief. of all of it, like seeing where our bodies are now and what we're living in and upholding and part of, and like that grief that like you can kind of see the movement of it. It's like we were saying, it's like the sorcerer, like this really intense spell, and it's like this almost this really intense spirit. It's like a, it's like an egregore, you know, like it's like this fucking thing that has like moved through, and you can kind of see that happening in different, in different history. And then, you know, then it's like, okay, so you've got some of that, but then it's like, okay, now like where is this in your body? Right. Where is this showing up in your body? Right. And how you are in movement in the world, and how you're in relationships to others in the world, all, anyone, your own family, your own community, other communities, where is this in your body? And then it's also at that same time, for me, that was really big to start really listening to my body. And then I started listening more to dreams. And then I started really like, wait a minute. So I'm on this land. So then it becomes like, I have to like really be in relationship with this soil, the soil right. that is mostly made of the ancestors of the people that belong to this land,
right?
Not my ancestors. And then it's like being in this relationship and this repair and this, and it's complicated and it's not easy, but to be sitting in that, it takes a slowing down. I think a lot, right? Like it's a slowing down into like listening to like the histories of the body and the, in this, like in science calls it epigenetics, but it's really, to me, it's just like the ancestors are within ourselves, and like kind of hearing and feeling into them, and then being, and then bringing that relationship into the land.
Right.
So that we're bringing like ancestral connections, like we're in this repairing or in this like recovery of our own ancestral listening. Right, and then figuring out how to like be in that relationship of repair to the land of what's been composted here.
Yeah, yeah.
It is like a lot. It's like a lot.
I know, that's when I roll up again. This is my life. I'm either like smoking a cigar or rolling up.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, I need to expand my mind in order to process like just being. And I think that there's pieces of this where in some of my studying and my listening, there is, I'm not sure exactly how to explain it, but it's almost like and I imagine it like TV shows or so, whatever, where there's like this big screen. I'm not only tracking like societal movement and community movement and where it's turning, I'm also looking at what's underneath the surface that's gone unaddressed, right? Like, okay, what is causing a massive amount of people to do this, that, or the other? What is at what can be one of the many roots of this thing? And part of that, and I say this sometimes, if I think the audience can hold it. I'll be like, I need you to activate your like ancestral medicine and magic, okay? And also reintegrate your sense of belonging, because you belong to a people and a place, so that then you can really fully understand what is all the shit about. Right? Mm-hmm. What is all the shit when somebody's like, and this is, you know, my own little pet peeve where I'm watching how folks use, and I shared this recently, use, you know, settler language or colonial language, because I'm like, for every finger you point anywhere else, I hope you're noticing the rest of the fingers that are pointing at you, because there's no way to live here and not recognize. And for me, it's a different, you know, there's a different context to it. And the result is sort of the same. We come here with these hopes and these dreams of having a better life, surely better than many situations and contexts, but not better because it actually is addressing and meeting the whole person, but better because it's contrasted against something else. But if you look at it as a whole, you realize that we have lost so much. Mm. right? And our sense of belonging to anything. So what do we do, you know, in very the energy of a beginning, folks just go out and figure out what they can sign themselves up for. What's the next training they can take? What's the next like amazing, I don't know, like, I fuck it all up. You know, yogic practice, like Ayurvedic, like a whole host of other shit from other places that are still experiencing violence, that some of their communities don't even get access to some of the shit. We're over here. And I say where because this is the part where there is this collective trance, right? This trance has us in a place that even for folks of different indigenous identities in terms of Black, Brown, Indigenous folks and people of color, which is just an awful amalgamation. But like, we've also bought into that Kool-Aid, right? We've also signed up for the, sure, I'm gonna take everybody else's stuff because I don't even know what my stuff is, but this is easier. Right. Everybody's doing it, right? If you think peer pressure ended, it hasn't, right?
Looks like it makes everyone feel good. I want to feel good too. Yeah. You know, okay. Guess what? Right. Sometimes the shit, it doesn't feel good. So one of the things I started, I knew that my Nono was a musician. So, cause there's stories. I knew that he was a musician. And so I started getting into like the music, the folk music of the island. And then even deeper into like, not just the like wedding or public folk music, the more ritualized, the workers in the fields, what they were singing when they were picking olives or when they were like, you know, working the fields for, you know, the landowners and whatever, what were they singing? What were they using? What instruments were they using? Right. So I started playing the frame drum. This is an amazing way in. I always think food and food can be tricky, but like music. So I started playing the frame drum and I found a teacher who's really tapped, a couple teachers actually really tapped into like some deep time in like the drumming of this region, but people were playing the drums all over and all over so-called Europe and all over the lands everywhere. Right. So there's people thank you for those who have kept sacred these drums still, because they're there. They're actually there. And there are people who have held these sounds. So I started playing the drum and I started playing rhythms that, you know, are really fucking old. And this has really like, wow. And this is a very specific, you know, style to the Mediterranean. And it is shifted so much in me by playing the drum. And learning some very, it's so interesting. So started learning some dance movement with the drum recently. Like I'm starting to ready to incorporate the body and the movement with it. And it's all about like moving into the earth and opening up to the sky, these movements. I was like, it felt almost yogic. I was like, this is like a fucking yoga. Like, this is not like, we don't have to do this, but like, it's almost very similar with the axis of the body. And at the same time, you're like making sounds. And I had a dream last night. I just have to tell you this dream. I had a dream and it's like, you know, full moon eclipse thing happening. And I had a dream. I was, encased in, like, it was very dark. It was very dark. And I felt like there was kind of somebody very close to my body or even almost within my body. And they taught me the proper alignment for this movement. I mean, they actually had verbal instructions.
I love that.
See, this is the kind of crazy shit happens when you start to like pick up, so I call it like an ancestral art, like something that you're into that you know that is kind of was happening, like maybe in the recent history or maybe a really deep history, maybe it's really stayed alive, like finding something and making, being devoted to it. And it's a prayer and it's like a reclamation and it is a medicine. Like there was a medicine in that, which was also like really kind of like allowing my body to be more connected down and also like open up. So those are the kind of magical medicine things that happen. And, you know, I've been playing the frame drum for about a year now. So it's only been a year and, you know, it's a lifetime of work, but a lot has shifted in that year. So like that's one of the things, like I always like to find something that's real. That your hands find that plant that is that is indigenous to these areas. We can get access to it. You can get pictures if you don't even have access to it and be with it and be in communion with the medicine of that plant.
Yes.
They're simple, right? They're simple things. And then all of a sudden you're not grabbing. I mean, you know, colonization and like white is like grab, expand, take. And it's like, why would you, we don't actually, we have so many lines of medicine in us already. And it's complicated because I think that, that those contracts and those agreements and the Kool-Aid really like it's an illusionary disconnect.
Right.
I don't believe we're actually disconnected. I don't believe it.
That shit'll show up. You just don't know that that's what's happening when you add them the garlic. You're like, no. Five pounds is not enough. I'm gonna add 10. Yeah. Fuck, you added so much garlic. Well, let's see. Right?
Let's just see what happens.
And and that's to me one of the things that I think has been my intention when I've talked about ancestral work. And connection, because I think that as much as I've desired to be able to, I couldn't go to my grandmother, may her memory be a blessing, who passed away in November. And I couldn't go to her and say, "Mine, you know, what's the medicine?" Because that registered, it didn't actually register right for her. She was getting free from living in a small town in Puerto Rico. So she came to Brooklyn to spread her wings and still had the heaviest fucking accent, spoke mostly Spanish. And what's really amazing to me that I've witnessed in my own experience, which is really challenging in a world that has the part of the conditioning is to demand data and evidence of any particular thing, right? So now it's like, you're the real shit or the full shit. If you got it from your grandmother and it passed down like that, I don't have that. I don't have that. I've had to sit and go, okay, what is the medicine that often my folks are like in gratitude for? What is the medicine that shows up that I think it's nothing? I think it's nothing, right? Because it's just how we've been and what we do, but it's actually medicine. And that as I show up in my particular generation, right? And I'm showing up and there may be absences, but literally I am a living expression of my mother, my grandmother, my great grandmother, my great, 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 great,
all of them.
Right.
All of them.
So like, if, and same thing, and I say the same thing that you mentioned, like if we're talking about epigenetics, that's really great. Wonderful. I'm so glad there's some scientific name, blah, 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 blah. And they could go set lollipop because, right. Cause I'm like, right. Because all of like that is what it means to generationally be connected, to know that we're coming in our time and context, not just to grab a hold of what came before us, but to understand that the alchemy and unique expression will be moving through us. And we must be ready for that difference. So rather than the romanticize, right? Like we'll romanticize something because one wishes that we would have had that, but yet you don't have that. So you create this romantic image only to discover that everything that you are, everything that is like breath to you is the manifested prayer of an ancestor, right? Like that's what we are. Where the like my great grandma, I know my great grandmother prayed for me. She used to tell me that a lot too. You know, and I had the honor of being able to spend time with her for a bit when I was a kid. And she actually got to meet Ariana. And then by the time Manny came around, she had passed away. But it was one of those things which we knew that her time was coming. And I knew that for my kid to see or to even be blessed by her was going to be amazing, right? It's an amazing thing to think. But really being able to say to myself, I don't have all the particulars and the worship of articulation is overrated. Because what I do have is knowing in my bones if I could just trust that.
That's it.
right? Like if I could trust that and then nourish that accordingly. So I would be lost if I couldn't salsa. I would be heartbroken in pieces if I couldn't hear the particular rhythm and sound of the island in my soul. Right? I'd be lost, and at the same time, thank the goddess that people had the courage to let their music take flight, because our remembering would be so challenging without the beat of a drum that brings you back home. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. Like, and that's my shit right there. So it's like, I could take on learning from a million people, and it still does not even come close to listening and honoring the beauty and the expression of my people dancing and moving from fucking devastating grief to some dope ass steps that some of that shit I still can't replicate. Some of that shit I'm like, no.
It's so hard. I'm like, how is this so hard? It's really just like one movement, and why can't I do it? Right? It's so hard for me to get.
Yeah, I often tell people, like, when I dance salsa, like, if I'm out dancing salsa and somebody and a dude comes up to dance with me, I can't dance with him, because it's such an intimate moment for me to be in dance that I'm like, okay, I can't handle your energy. It's going to make
me. Together, we're going to explode. I'm going to explode here.
Yeah. Oh, I'm like, just one thing at a time. Okay, one thing at a time. But just this beautiful, like, recognition that they've not disappeared.
Yeah.
We're not disappeared. Yeah. And
we're not going to disappear. Yeah. And that's the thing. And that's that thing. I get a lot of people are like, I don't know it. And I didn't have anybody telling me anything either. Like I saw things like old school, folky Catholic things happening, but it wasn't like, consciously wasn't passed on to me. And to be honest, there was like an in-between world, a struggle of like trying to be to survive, right? Yeah. All our people just like they had to fucking survive. They needed to survive, and they were gonna have to do what they were gonna have to do to survive. But like people don't trust this narrative, the stories, the mythologies, and the knowing in the body. We don't do that. We're not taught to do that. This is part of colonization too. It's like, don't trust the body. And like, specifically for like, I noticed at least with like white people, we live like here up, like I'm talking like here up and not here down. So like, I think a lot of that access too is like really learning that you've got from the hips, and you've got a gut and a belly and maybe a womb and like thighs and like feet and all of this down and moving down. Like we can move down too. We can be held by land. We can be in connection with land. And all of a sudden, then you start really, I think, trusting. Maybe not all of a sudden. It might be harder work, because, you know, there's a lot like of people like I'll talk to in conversations like that, like, I just don't know, and I don't have any information. And I'm like, well, instead of like going through files or searching ancestry.com, I would suggest like really knowing that it's all in your body anyway. Yeah. Like it's all in your body anyway. Yeah. And to trust that, like, especially every like mother before you, like that, you know, matrilineal line is like, we're just incarnations of it. Like it's the next incarnation of that. And so all of that knowing is really in the body. And it's just like having a moment to remember that here and there.
And absolutely. And also like, and that's why for me, like teaching around culture and kind of peeling off these layers it's so important to me, because what I'm actually trying to do, I'm not trying to teach a person to do a thing I do. I have no interest in that actually. Which is why I haven't. Same. Like, and it's funny too, because folks are like, you should teach a course on magic, or you should did it. And I'm like, okay, here's the thing. I cannot, I get it. I get it. I really, really do get it when you feel like when you're just coming online. And that's how I think of it. Like, it's just like your shit comes online and you start seeing the world so differently. But I'm not as interested in a formula as I am interested in remembering that you have a way. Mm-hmm. And kind of talking a bit about what a path back to your remembering actually looks like. Right.
And there's so, no formula. Yeah.
There isn't a formula. There isn't. And that's the part that makes it really like, and that's why I'm like, I try to be as transparent as possible. I say this a lot on my social media because I don't want, I mean, don't get me wrong, it would probably be incredibly relieving to have this like really like shallow utopian life. I'm sure that I don't even know who I would be there or what that would, I'm sure it'd probably.
You couldn't even do that.
I'm like. but you know, just like the naming of saying, oh, actually the grit, both the grit that's intentional as a byproduct of society and both the grit that is the emergence of who I am in my lineage is something that I want to amplify and elevate more than I do like the pretty shit.
Yeah.
Right? Because
more, yeah.
Yeah, right? It's like, if we can shift some of this way, then again, it shifts our orientation from transaction to relationship, transaction to relationship. Mm-hmm. When you're doing relationship, mm-hmm. you can't, like, I know there's speed dating and shit like that, and you're going to get speed dating results, right? Like, which can look like a booty call that happened real quick, one moment, then it was gone the next day because everybody realized their shit, right? And so it's like this recognition of, like, you cannot, that is a survival strategy that shuts down your cognition in order for you to just get the basic, because that's all you have the energy for. You cannot address your belonging, your connection in that same way. That's not how that works, mm-hmm. right? And so part of the deception of internet world is that the things are as immediately as they show up. When you want to live an inhabited life, that's not how that actually is. It's like, nah.
No.
My shit comes up and I got to work through that. And I'm also grieving and I'm present with that. And I'm also in a place of making choices about who I want to be for the next however many years I have left on this earth, right? Like, but part of the unraveling of the potency of the mental and ethnic erasure is that it causes a fog that would have us believing that we can't, and would have us believing that it needs to look a certain way. Because if your expectation is that it has to look a certain way, you're not listening to what you need. Right? Yeah. It's like you're not actually in your body. So start by allowing the things that don't actually cultivate embodiment to kind of move aside.
Yeah.
Right?
Because the reality is, it might just have you laying on the ground for the next 3 years. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, this, how slow this stuff is. Like, it might just be that that's just all you're doing is laying on the ground for the next 10 years.
Which is why
this isn't Mick, you know, this is talking about, like, I don't know, healthcare or something, and Kaiser or crappy insurance, whatever. Like, it's like Mick medicine. It's like this, this is what we've been trained to think, that we just, like, right. we do this, and then it's like, oh my God. What we were talking before is this marathon. We're just sort of thinking about the marathon. Like, how do we just begin to prepare for a marathon that we might actually enter in a decade from now, to be quite honest?
Yeah.
So slow.
Yeah, which, and I think what's really fascinating to me is that, you know, in our particular worlds, folks can like to do a lot of quantum jumping of portals and containers. And I think that that is wonderful and amazing and still a byproduct of very watered down magic. Mm-hmm. Because what's really sitting with me is the amount of presence, divine presence that the earth has. And being made in its image to be this human thing that, right, like our composition so so aligned and so connected to very similar, biology and ways of being. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things where I'm like, okay, wait a minute, your portal, I'm happy that you're portal jumping. I'm glad for you if you've mm-hmm. accomplished that. That doesn't change your inhabitation.
Yeah.
And if you created a portal, right, in the ether, but the portal's not anchored in the earth, you missed it. What are we doing? Right. And so I feel like
I got so much work to do right here in this body, like with these feet on this soil. Like I don't even portal the hell. I'm just preparing to portal when I die. That's like my portal, whatever that looks like. And guess where I'm going? Down. Down right, there.
Right. To an earth, to a land matter that may not know our names, which is really fascinating to me, right? Like this place of where we're rooted at. And I think that there's a lot of, I don't know, because one of the things I've been, I don't know, is just such a filler statement, but one of the things I've been observing in my work and kind of my movement is the psycholinguistics. And so the relationship of articulation and language to our cognition, but also in a deeper way, like how can even as close as we can possibly get to languages of origin, which is all complex, as close as we can get, right, to shifting the way our neurons move and the way we think in order to create more expansion so that we can connect and activate. And that's all I, in my head, that's all that is inhabiting now. When I do my workshops, no matter
what,
I'm like, I just want to support activating.
Yeah.
Right? Because once you're on that journey, it's yours.
Yeah.
You good?
Wow. No, I'm just like,
yeah.
You just kind of blew my mind a little bit. There was that moment there, I was like, I was in your brain for a second, or your body, but I was just like, yeah. Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
Which is why we do
get obsessed with that. Yeah.
Food, right? Food, language, mm-hmm. land. These are all places of remembering. Mm-hmm. But also what was the place in which articulation built relationship with the words were symbiotic with the land? And what does that do to the remembering at a cellular level? Right? So we lay out in the land, but we lay out in a land that was spoken to. Mm-hmm. Right? And so absolutely. For me, I'm looking at, I need to look at, you know, Spanish, Castilian Spanish, which is distinct from Spain, right? Which we have on the island. Taino, that one's accessible, but not quite at the same rate of the colonization of the most recent language. Hebrew, and Hebrew is something that I could listen. Reading Hebrew is still tricky for me, but I can listen. There's something about listening and pronouncing the prayers that does a thing to me every time. And like, I swear I see the Hebrew letters, just like, they're so multidimensional in their like inhabitation. So it's like fucking wicked as shit. And just thinking, what are the ways that we can continue to create containers for remembering? Because there is no laid out direct pathway. The pathway is actually in.
So interesting that you say that too, just in my own experience of trying to like learn Italian and how my body kind of rejects it. And I just kept thinking it was my own brain, but then like really recognizing that like nobody really spoke Italian in my family because each and every little teeny bioregion had a tribal
Right.
language.
Puerto
That was
Rico's.
a mix, and it's like right there, and it's not even like in Sicily, it's not even just dialect. There was a Sicilian language which was really Arabic, Latin, whatever was happening. I don't know. It
Yeah.
was like a real mix of the 2000 years of different people ruling the land. But oh, love to know some like sounds from before
Yeah.
that. What's even before that? What was even
Yeah.
before that?
Yeah.
What did Medusa say? I want to know what Medusa said, you know?
Yeah.
Like, oh man, did she just
Yeah.
make sounds and chant, and was it guttural? And
Yeah.
being able to kind of learn that was, I mean, that kind of awakening. Because these practices, you're right, and with the food, like food is like one of those things that just will because it's so sensual.
Yeah.
And it's
Yeah.
so of the land, right? And there's just been so much, it's just like this circular thing, and then we digest it and we shit it back out, and it's like this thing that we're doing. And that's also like really, that's I think really been a magic practice for me, is like knowing that like, and even in those some of the foods, this is so, like it's been maybe 5 years that I 5 years that I really understood that some of the what I thought were like cultural foods
Right.
were not,
Right.
because the
Right.
conquistadors came in and brought the tomatoes and the peppers
Right.
to the island, and they became part of the food landscape. But that's these are those things too, like when we're looking at like that history, like having that like moment where like, oh wait a minute, oh wow, oh that's deep shit, like these
Right.
people who were
Right.
like
Right.
colonizing everywhere, and then this food became
Right,
ours.
right.
To
And then,
understand that, and also have a different relationship with it. It's still beautiful. It still fed the
right.
people. It grows wonderfully there. It thrives. It's like I believe the plants and the food have agency in themselves. Like why humans suppress ourselves over these plants and think they're doing this certain thing. They
Right.
made a home there. But to know that, like little, and then so when you eat it, you think of a different. You're thanking more than just one group of
Right.
people,
Right.
you're in connection to where it is indigenous to.
Yeah, and I think that some of that, like what's happening for folks, is the conflation again around purity and belonging,
Right.
right? That purity is going to give us belonging, but that is part of the colonial construct that says if you meet all this criteria, then if we can shift out of that particular thing, and rather than, like, for me, it's like, let's address the belonging. Because when we address the aspect of belonging, very basic, like human need, what tends to happen is that you have a bit more resource to pull from when you're engaging in all of this stuff. Otherwise, if you don't have like a particular anchor, your hunger for the connection, your hunger for the belonging overrides and tries to one-dimensionalize culture and an identity, which is what makes it tricky, right? So when we talk about, like, we can talk about capitalism and it sucks and all those things. Capitalism is a distortion of market and trade. An old thing, old as
It's
old,
old.
right?
Old
Old
is
as
old.
shit. That moved by different ethics and by different ways of being contextual to the region that the market was happening in or the trade was happening in. And so it's like, we don't, it's not so much the purity. Purity is a Puritan concept, right? Unfortunately, a distorted thing, right? In its like place of inception. And so it's like realizing, okay, so as we unfurl and unwrap this for ourselves, we have to be able to talk about how badly we want to belong to something, and or the other side of that, how lost we feel. Right. And
I have a
unless,
theory about belonging, like that invention. this invention, this word invention, only could exist after some sort of fissure. Like, right? Like, nobody needed that word. And so if you look at the etymology of the word, like I looked at the etymology, like one of the oldest etymologies I could find. And I think it was like ancient Greek or something like that. I don't know. And it was, if you break it apart, it's to be taken by longing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So it doesn't get to be fixed or solved.
Right.
It is about the feeling of being taken by the longing. When you're taken by longing, where does it kind of bring you? And not a longing that is like, I want, I want, I want. A longing that is, you know, deeper than that and like allows you to be in inquiry and curious and sensual and like wanting to like taste and be with and pray in and also be unraveled by the grief. Because let's face it, there wasn't a need for this word in some deep time in history, probably.
Right.
That feeling of wanting to belong was not even a concept that the consciousness needed to experience.
Right. And I think too, there's
the assuming.
Well, and I think that part of some of that is also, I mean, what we have now is nothing in relation to at other times in our stories where we had much more connection, right? And that's what I said yesterday on Facebook. I was exchanging with someone about the idea of purpose and meaning and making meaning. And one of the things that I was talking about was like the idea that there's something about part of this huge ass spirit of domination and colonialism and imperialism, that part of the way it needs to function, no matter where it's located, is through this idea of folks like being isolated from their connective pieces. So if you isolate folks out of land, if you isolate folks from language, if you isolate folks from a series of things, right, it begins to create this shift that actually changes the person's orientation. What my observation is that as we like tracking story, we long for home, right?
Yeah.
Because home gives us a connection, an embodied connection that otherwise is really challenging to arrive to. Right. And so having an enormous amount of compassion for, because the home, the idea of a place offers a connective link. The thing that we suffer most from is disconnection. Right. Which is why like this conversation is coming from a place of recognizing what can feel like a horrible void in your life, not to have connection to a sense of threading between generation to generation, right? And food is one of the ways that we do that. We're like, okay, so for me, I'm gonna make a pot of rice. I'm gonna make some beans. I'm gonna do this thing. I'm gonna do that other thing. And the minute I sit down with that bowl of food, and I'm not a bean eater, which is really funny. I'm not like, I can make good beans. I just don't eat beans. Texture just weirds me out. And I'm at the place in my life where that bowl of rice with beans and bean sauce and some sort of meat, much more modern invention, doesn't just fill my belly. It fills my soul. I feel my mother in that, right? In that bowl of rice. I feel my grandmother. I feel my great grandmother. I feel all the palm tree leaves and all the things, like they're present with that. And for me, part of this like very like real walk, kind of like walking ourselves home experience, is honoring the fact that something about our cultural context gave us medicine, but nourished us in a way that we don't have as easy access to now.
Mm-hmm.
And that we need that in order to have the energy that we're going to need for the marathon. right? Mm-hmm. Using the marathon.
And you're feeding your ancestors. You're feeding your ancestors that, yeah, that bowl too. Like, you're feeding yourself. They're like, oh, I'm so hungry. Thank you so much. Yeah. It's giving them the energy to help us, support us through this marathon, because we can carry them with us and they can be weight.
Yeah.
When they're not seen, and when they're not acknowledged, and when all, you know, like, we just, a lot of people I know, like, I want to cut myself from that tree. I want to cut myself off from my family trees, my lineage. Yeah. And I get it. Yeah. I get that. Cause there's a lot of pain in people and trauma and everything. And it's like, that's hard work to be able to say, not mine. I don't want it. And also, I know that I inevitably carrying you with me. So you're not going to be weight. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to nourish you. Nourishing your own, right? And like, you're going to be of support to me now. And that's a lot to untangle, and I get it. And that's like, I don't know, it's some deep shit, but it's real. It's real.
Right.
When I'm kneading my dough, I was told that my Nona made bread every day, multiple loaves, and passed them out to the community. And her bread was like, everybody loved her bread. It was like such good bread. And, my father will always tell me stories about how sad of a woman she was. Like, she was, had a pretty rough time. Let's just say that. She had a pretty rough time of it. She was raising 8 or 9 kids in the Depression alone, you know? So it's a lot, you know? I mean, these women did it though. I mean, they were, and she had lost a couple too. Like, a couple died here, a couple died this way or whatever. Her husband died when she was pregnant with my father, who was the youngest. Mm-hmm. And so I always imagine, like, when I'm kneading that dough, that like, I'm kneading it with her, and that like, I'll cry and I'm like, these are her tears coming out, and they're like alchemizing that dough. Like, the whole thing becomes a spell, right? Our food becomes this new level of spell making that we get to then eat or share with others and be like, you're eating this spell. And like, that's a personal magical thing, whatever the spell is or whatever it is, but we can infuse like all of the wise hands that probably kneaded the dough or stirred in the beans and whatever, all the things that they made, like, we can bring this into our bodies and like have this kind of new, in some ways subtle and grand, alchemy happening in the body, where it's like, it's not just me making this. I've got like a lot of medicine moving through me into this dough or into this meal. And how can I pass it on? And how can I feed and feed people as much as I possibly can with that?
Yeah. And I feel, I love that, because I love the idea of being able to show up in this particular way that allows for like processing and integration. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, one of the things that happened with my mom before she transitioned was that we would go to chemo. Sometimes now I realize, I was like, I spent a whole year with my mother, and of course I'm missing her something awful, because I spent the whole year and a half with her before she transition. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we did during that time, which was very challenging but so important to me, is in any way possible support my mom in trying to metabolize a lot of her experiences in ways that she couldn't before. And we had a lot of space between us for a couple of years as her life moved in a different direction and mine moved in a different direction. But when we came back for this, it was things looking at conversations around like, what were the romantic relationships like in the women in my family? We had that conversation in the kitchen. And I was like, tell me a little bit about like, what's up with the romance? And she would be like, what do you mean? And I was like, Is there like a track record of the women in our family to marry men they don't love and love men they can't marry? And she was like, I would giggle like all the time because she'd be like, I never thought of it like that. And I was like, right, let's talk about it.
Yeah, we're going to go there now.
Talk about it. And she would be like, you know, because her own story, she carried so much regret in her own story. And so I was like, in my head, I was like, all right, let's talk about relationships. So that there could be some clearing, so that there can be some understanding, like, oh, what is this thing that the women in my family have this tendency of loving things that they cannot have? What's up with that? And it's like, literally, it moves through so much and so much story around pain. What's helpful around that is that, one, the honor of a lifetime to be able to support my mother in being able to shift some of that for herself before she was transitioning, but also the way that your honoring of both the pain and the joy actually helps like process and helps metabolize all that shit that's storing up in your system that came from their system.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Right? And so like things about worthiness, things about, you know, deserving, things about struggle, things about, so we would have, holy shit, and bless her heart because she endured it as a trooper. And for me,
it was game. She was game for you.
She was.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Shit, Amy, because that's my middle name. And I'm like, mom, I'm like, and it would hit because what came as a result of that conversation is the balm of compassion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? The look like, rather than going, what the fuck is a problem? Why does she keep on chasing, having come out of a 20-something year marriage myself with someone who did not love me the way I loved them?
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck was that, right? Yeah. Like that thing. But having done that thing, it's also like in the making of the bread, in the moment that there's a channeling that's happening that allows for a witnessing that some of our ancestors and some of our beloved ancestors more specifically didn't get a chance to process. And even those that their shit is still a hot mess in this and the afterlife and in this life, it's fucking hard to process pain. Sometimes you just want to have survived it and keep it moving.
Yeah.
Right? Like not necessarily dig in to all the ways why. So for me, there's this like opportunity in what you're talking about. Like if it was bread making or if it was, I think about my great grandfather, he wore they would make the hats out of like palm leaves, which is a thing in a lot of cultures.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to just like love looking at those particular hats being made because I was like, one, they're fucking dope. Having said that, it's like, what a skill that also, you know, was able, you could sell it at market, but something about the weaving,
mm-hmm.
right? And this is why I think it's important to connect to the pieces that we can have access to in right? Like field jet. Because the actions of things are actually connected and embodied movement. And this is the way that we can offer that medicine.
The thing is, and I'm just gonna throw this in here because I'm feeling that, and there's a lot of things. So one thing that I knew about my grandmother was in that time period, she had to bootleg a bit to make some money. And the only reason I know that is because she got arrested few times because we found the paper. We found the articles. Salvatore J. Bonfilio arrested again for bootlegging.
I love it.
Okay. So I think of her and I think of like my other grandpa who was like a real plant medicine person. He was always in the garden and stuff. And like, I love to make booze. Like I love to make plant boozes. Like, you know, at first I just liked it because I was like, this is cool. I can use like herbal stuff and like I can make some drink after dinner drinks and stuff. And then I started realizing like, oh, you know, she was suffering. Like it wasn't fun for her to boot. Like, I don't think that she was in joy. I think she was in survival. And like me getting to like to like kind of process that while I'm making now, and then also being like, and I'm making because I can and I want to, and I have abundance of spirit and plant material to work with. The yeah. other thing I kind of want to say is there's some people, folks here, who've been here for so long, whose people have been here for so long, talking white folks, who've been here for so long, it's really hard for them to find it. They have names yeah. and records that you cannot believe. You get number of acres back to like so far yeah. away to like royalty in England. It's unbelievable because I know people like that. And I'm like, wow. But like, they don't have the palm hat. Like, yeah. it's interesting. And I'm not saying that they're at a lack or like I feel bad or anything like that.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah, yeah.
I wonder like how, like, I was just like, how they could find, you know, how these places and these, those access points in them, like where they are. And that's just a living question.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people that kind of hit that big brick wall.
Yeah.
And it's hard.
Yeah, I think,
and then they just perpetuate whatever they're doing. They perpetuate like appropriation or whatever because they're like, I don't have any